In Pashas Vezayis HaBracha, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives a bracha to Shevet Levi, so he delineates all the different roles that the Leviim are going to have in history. Leviim, not just Leviim, but Kohanim obviously is part of Shevet Levi. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives him the bracha, Yerumish Patech LeYaakov, V'Sarascha LeYisrael. It should be Meir Hara, it should be Paiskim, it should be Lambitera, Megidishurim, Yerumish Patech LeYaakov, V'Sarascha LeYisrael. Yesimu Keter B'Yapecha, they should offer the Keteres, and the Chalilim is Bechecha, and they should offer the Kabbanis, the Kabbanis, they should bring the Kabbanis as well. So these are traditionally the three roles that Shevet Levi has. Yerumish Patech LeYaakov, Yesimu Keter B'Yapecha, Cholam is Bechecha. So if I asked you in terms of which of these three roles is the most important, which of the ones is the highest level in terms of, you need in a sense, almost like the highest level of Kedushas Leviyah, which one is the most significant in the eyes of Kedush Baruch Hu? So I would say that this is almost going up in a progression, that the Torah starts out with the lowest. Yom Shvetech Liyakov, come on, what's saying a Shia? And Tom Dick and Eric can say a Shia, anyone can pass in Shilas, come on, you know, have to be a Levi, have to keep this Levia, this Kahuna for this. This morning I got the Levi of Koyan, I got the Levi of Levi, I got the Levi of Yisrael, I can do everything, so no problem. So anyone can be a Koyan, anyone can be a Levi. It's a little bit funny when you read that the Parshas Korach, everyone's asking to be a Koyan, a Levi, and then Yisrael stealing all the Aliyahs. But the first glance, the most important of all of the avodas is not the Yerumish Patech LeYaakov. That's the lowest of the totem pole. Then, and even within those things that Kohanim are designated to do, I would say that the Karbanos are much, much more important than the Keteres. Karbanos are brought all the time, all day. There's a coming early in the morning, coming early in the afternoon. They're coming Musafs, coming Karbanos of Yom Kippur, they're Karbanos of Yom Tov. There's so many Karbanos that are brought. It's a Keteres. There's Keteres. That was an afterthought. You bring a little Keteres to the morning, a little Keteres in the afternoon, a little extra Keteres to the Kosher Kedoshim and Yom Kippur, you know. But yes, you know, the offering of the Keteres, I wouldn't put up on the top of the line as a Vedas to the base of Mikdash. So then the Pesachim read very nicely. The Yerumish Patech LeYaakov, that the Kohanim and Leviim are chosen to be the Malam de Torah. That's nice. That's okay. That's a half-baked job. That Yesimu Keter B'Yapecha, then they bring the Keteres as well. That's an even more important job. And you want to know what the real job is? Ooh, the highest of all the jobs is B'Chol Amiz Bechecha. Ma'al Mekai Shem Aridim. So there's a Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Korach that offsets that interpretation, because Rashi says that the highest level of the Aveda, the most Kaddish level of the Aveda that Kohanim are called to do, is the Keteres. So, Haraya, that was the test. That was going to be the line of demarcation. The Eseshev Chashem HaKadosh. So, Moshe Rabbeinu brings in the big guns, and it's going to be the Keteres that's going to be the thing to determine who's the real Kohen. So, Keteres is much, much more important. So, if Keteres is more important, then you have to some math on the board. Now we need, what's his name? We need, with the carrots inside. What's more important than what? So now that you're telling me that Keteres is more important than the Karban Ola, so then the progression has to be the other way around. That if the Torah is going in order, so then if the least important is the Ola and the middle is the Keteres, then there's something much, much more important than Keteres. Oh my goodness, what is that? Well, we have no choice. Yom Shetach Yaakov V'Saras Yisrael. It must be that to be Malami Torah, to be Meir Alochas, that's the much, much more important jobs. We just got a total 180-degree spin shift on what the role of Kohanim and Leviim is. I thought that the Kohanim and Leviim are basically over there, and now I just got finished learning. Then, no, they're basically learning in Kol and Paskin and Shalos, the Rabbanim and Mechanicham, and Yidishurim said, and in addition to that role, some lesser important roles also. They bring Keteres, Eshkoch, and even when they have nothing better to do with their time, they bring Kabbanis also. But if you want to know what they're really doing, what the number one job is, in order, if this is it, this is the real bracha Moshe Rabbeinu, the real makor is Yom Shetech LeYaakov V'Saraschal. So the evidence is that the psukim seem to bear that out. The psukim in Chumash bear out this theme, and the psukim in Navi bear out this theme, because the psukim describe the Kohanim always in the context of Malam de Torah. The psukim in Parashas Shoftim that speak about the Beis Din, so they talk about Uvasal Kohanim Leviim V'Lashev Shashir B'Yom Mehen. It talks about coming to the Kohanim and to the Leviim. And there's nothing to do with the Avodas HaKabbanos. There's no carbon, there's no Keteres, there's nothing. There's no Shiras Talavim there. It's a hardcore Shaila. It's a Shaila Ruch HaShabbos. It's a Shaila Sugin Bava and Bava Basra. So who do you go to? You go to the Kohanim. What are you going to Kohanim Levim for? Why does it say she go to the Dayanim? So it says that also, but first on the list are the Kohanim Levim. So it's clearly indicating that the model that the Torah is depicting for us is that the Kohanim Levim are going to play a major role as Torah leaders, not just Ovdei HaAvodah, but as Torah, Lamdei Torah, in Klal Yisrael, Poskei Shailos. And this idea is re-emphasized again at the end of the Navi, the very, very last Navua that's given in Malachi, speaks about the role of the Kohanim. So, Besif Sekoen, Gishmu Das, Tori Vakshim Apiv, Kemakshim Tzvokesu. The Kohen all of a sudden is lauded as being a great Malamit Torah, as being a great model in terms of teaching, spreading Torah. He's not, we don't emphasize the fact that he's serving in the base. That's not so important. What makes him to the Malach Hashem Tzavakos? He's the Malach Hashem because he's a Malamit Torah to Kabbalah Yisrael. That's the greatest thing that the Kohen. And then it's a side job, you know, for a few pennies on the side of moonlight. That's some avodah in the basic mikdash also. But his real job is to be the Malamit Torah. So this model that's clear from the Psukim in Parshas Zayseh Bracha is clear from the Psukim in Parshas Shoftim, is clear from the Psukim in the Navi of Malachi. So this sheds some light as to the absurdity of the argument of Korach v'Adosai. The Korach's coming with tainus. He wants to bring k'tayres, he wants to bring kavanas. Then you have all these people from Bnei Ruvain. They're coming, they want to do something. They want to be Kohanim, they want to be Levim. So it's such a ridiculous taina. He said, they're picking up on the trivial part of Kahuna. He said, the real part of Kahuna, they can do. It's not the Kohanim of Levim don't have a monopoly on that. Kohanim have a monopoly on the Vedas and Kabbalah. Levim have a monopoly on the Shira. But the other parts, so everyone's available to that. It's the famous Rambam in the very last Rambam, Shmita V'Yovel. It's a throwback that we spoke a little bit about last week about the Harbi Yosef Rabbi Shmuel, about the role of the Rosh Hashanah in this world. So the Rambam writes in the very end of Avichu Shmita V'Yovel that anybody can be that kind of a kind of living. You don't have to be born in Taguna. Rambam says that, you know, there are shlosh iksarim, the keser Torah, the keser of Kahuna, the keser of Torah. So the keser Malchus, I'm sorry. So keser Malchus, that was promised of David HaMelech. So unless you're born into the family, you have the DNA of David HaMelech, otherwise you're not a candidate for Malchus. Unless you have the DNA for being a Kohen, you're not going to be a Kohen. But keser Torah, remember, writes in Paragimu Chesamta Kola Rotsa Yavu Yitol. So it's because anyone can come. You don't have to have very good yichus either. That's the famous Gemara says that Imam Zatam Achach is coming to Kohen Gadol. That you can be the lowest rung in yichus in all of Klal Yisrael, and you can become the greatest Tamachachim. You could be a Ben Ger, you could be a Shmai Yavtalion, maybe Akiva's father was a Ger Tzedek. You can come mamish from the least fancy Shmensi yichus, and you can rise to the top and become a Gadol B'Torah. There's nothing stopping you. It's completely the Kes of Torah is completely available to any and every Jew who wants to avail themselves of it. This idea that the Korach totally missed the boat, and we sometimes miss the boat, because we sometimes view our the Beis HaMikdash as primarily a Mokam HaVayit HaSekabon. It's true, there's no question that HaVayit HaSekabon was the main part of the Mikdash, but there was a whole other dimension of Mikdash that was much, much more important, and that was the fact that the Aron was there as representative of the Luchos. It was, as the Ramban writes, it was the address of our Sinai, this man is that. After Kabbalah Sator and Sinai, so how are you going to, where are you going to find Kabbalah Sator? Where are you going to go to? So you come to the Beis HaMikdash, come to the mission, come to the Beis HaMikdash to reconnect to the Matana of Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So this was that was a place for Lishkas HaGoz, which is where the Sanhedrin sat. So everything revolved around the centrality of Torah in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So we sometimes tend to think that the Beis HaMikdash was all Kabbalahs and Torah wasn't really part of it. The answer is the opposite. Torah was the main Kabbalah, was the most important part of Mikdash. Now, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so things changed radically. So the Gemara says that Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Ein Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Lamer Adal Am Shalach Buvay. After the Churban, so Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the Mikdash anymore, even though Shechina Ein Peila, to a certain degree, this Kadosh HaMikdash was done as that Rambam, the Kriv of Kishen Bayis, but obviously it's not Bishle Musa, it's not Binyano, and therefore the Ashuras of Shechina is something's lacking to some degree. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu is still around because without Amish Halacha, as long as you're with without Amish Halacha, so you still have a promise of Ashuras Hashchina. So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that the Rebbe Shem used to visit the Beis HaMikdash, used to be found in the world of Kabbalahs, and now there's no Kabbalahs, so we have a booby prize. The booby prize is the Beis Medrash. No, that's not what the Gemara means. It's not a booby prize. What the Gemara is saying is that The Beis Hamikdash was a Mokom Shechina. So the Shechina used to reflect itself in multiple ways. It reflected itself b'shas HaKrovos HaKabonos. It reflected itself b'shas Limud HaTorah. It reflected itself as a Mokom Avod and a Mokom Limud HaTorah. Now the Mokom Avod, the part is not here. So the Mokom Avod is Shal Pom. So saying that we have shuls, we have other ways of making up for that. But the main part of the Beis Hamikdash is still here. The primary goal of the Beis Hamikdash being a Mokom Torah is still here. It's just it's moved a little bit. It's no longer in on the Harabai. I mean, the Shechin is Harabai. That's the Mokom eventually for Kabanas. But the real Mokom Torah is not limited anymore geographically to the Mokom HaMikdash. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu meant when he said, Eilu HaKodesh Baruch Hu Da'am Shalach Buvad. You can take that Koyach HaMikdash and you can plant it any way you want. As long as you're within the world of Da'am Shalach, it doesn't matter where you are. Is that as long as you have Torah with you, so the physical proximity is not as important. So we began the month of Tammuz, and the month of Tammuz is not that far away from Shavuos Tammuz, really less than 2 weeks. Over Meher Ben HaMikdash, one of the Shavuos Tammuz anymore, but Lamais on the calendar, it's hard to believe, but the 3 weeks are almost upon us. So the Ben HaMitzvah, I think it's just hard for us to fathom that, because in our minds, we always associate the 3 weeks with the summer. We always associate with camp, and just like Kolel, the Rosh HaKolel, that's a mindset of, you know, Shavuos HaMatamos, Tisha B'Av, that's a summer's mind. What's happened this year is that the line of demarcation between the summer and the pre-summer has been blurred a little bit. I have a feeling that when we come back at the beginning of Elul, whatever shape or form that means, there's also going to be almost like a blurring of lines. We're not going to be quite sure when one's mind ended, one's mind began, but the calendar is the same. You know, whether we like to not Pesach came with Corona, without Corona. Shavuos came wherever we were up to, no matter what phase in the world we're up to, the Yom Tov don't stop anything. So Shavuos, short of the Beis Hamikdash being rebuilt, Shavuos of the Thomas is literally around the corner with the 3 weeks of Tisha B'Av. So we're embarking upon a sad time and on a calendar, a sad time in our history. But even though we're embarking upon a time of Churban, a time of mourning, the Beis Hamikdash, but it's a time of great chizuk also, because it highlights the fact that even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash for almost 2,000 years, Klai Yisrael always had Torah. Klai Yisrael always had Torah to hold on to. And that Torah was able to follow us around in all places, in all geographic locations. And those who were listening to some of the shiurim I gave before Shavuos, but I gave those series of shiurim before Shavuos, they gave a little bit chizuk at the end. It's a quote from Chaim Leizer's Agdama to the Sefer Achiezer, we quoted before. And we'll get the chance, take a look at it. It's Chilik Aleph in Achiezer. Chaim Moses' introduction, where he speaks about he wrote that sefer right after World War I. There was a lot of suffering in the Jewish communities at the time, and communism, and a lot of exile of communities, and breakup of Jewish communities, a lot of problems that we had at the time. And Chaim Moses tried to give a little chizuk. So in there, he writes about how even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, you would have thought the Klai would have thrown the towel back then. He said no, that they picked up the Torah and they ran off to Yavne. Then they ran from Yavne, they went to Usha, Tveria, then they ran to Bavel. And when Bavel didn't suit them anymore, they ran to Spain and they ran to France, and they ran to Germany and they ran to North Africa. And when those places didn't work, so they moved to other places. And they went to Turkey and they went to Poland and they went to there. And then when Nebuchadnezzar, those places were no longer around, so they found a way. Now, Israeli Chabaz was still in Poland. He was still in Lithuania when he was writing this. So now we know Nebuchadnezzar, after the horrific events of the Holocaust, Torah didn't end. Torah picked up, and Torah was replanted in Eretz Yisrael, and Torah was replanted in America, was replanted in several other countries in the world. And Torah just has the natural ability to go anywhere and everywhere. That's a tremendous gift. Avodah doesn't have that. Avodah Kabbalah doesn't have that. Tefillah has that. Avodah Kabbalah doesn't have that. If you want to bring a carbon in Bergenfield, my backyard, it's called Shchut Echutz. We can say, sure, in my backyard. So Torah can go anywhere and everywhere, no matter where you go, Torah is always around. So I think that those words really, in a sense, should be a tremendous chizik for us, as we still find ourselves in the word difficult times. Obviously, everything is relative. The different daggers of difficulty and different times, and a lot of uncertainty about the present and about the future, and still trying to wrap our heads about what happened in the past. And no one has Ruach HaKodesh 100% to know what the future is going to bring. But one thing that we do know is that Torah will always be here. It doesn't matter. If you want to know where I'm going to be saying Shiurim, starting the beginning of the next Zman in Yeshiva, I can't tell you that. And hopefully everyone should be well, that there will be Shiurim, that I can tell you. We hope everyone should be well. So, I know a lot of the Brachim had a lot of disappointments with summer plans, and some of the summer plans still haven't been finalized. And there's still a lot of things up in the air. There's a little tumbling around. So I know it's very straining, it's very challenging, myself included. You know, I've been scrambling to try to find the right venue, the right location, and the right tzura to be able to say shiurim. So no one has 100% clear answers, and some decisions that we make now may not even be able to be fulfilled into we. Nobody knows. Everything is up. So many things up in the air in the world. But one thing that's not up in the air, Torah is up in the air, but it's down on the ground also. The Torah is here. So I think we should get a tremendous chizuk for life. That the same way we were able to pull through from March something or other. I don't remember exactly what day it was in March, but the last day that we said shir in yeshiva in our classroom, I think was Tainus Esther, if I'm not mistaken, right? I don't think we said shir since Tainus Esther in it, am I right? Give a take in our shir room. What? What? It was already closed, so the day before time. No, right, you're right. You're before Tainus Esther. Purim the Mukdamim, the Kfarim, the people of Kilisa, your Dimel, your Beis, I don't know. Your Aleph, I forgot already what it was. But now we're holding by, it's almost the first week of Tammuz already. So it means we haven't said Shiurim in what we would call a normal geographic venue that we've been used to for so many years, from Chodesh Adar to Nisan to Iyar to Siva, almost 4 months. Look what we've accomplished. It's lo yuman ki yisubar. We learned kalabasa. From Maisa, we learned kalabasa. But when the first year we said, I think the first official year on Zoom was Mina Kalabasa, right? Because that was in the Bechina, right? We're in the middle of taking that Bechina. Some guys took, some guys didn't take on the Huta Klan anymore at this point. Everything is a Zion Adar. Wow, who would have ever thought Zion Adar? That's an appropriate day. Maisha Rabbeinu is your side. See, I thought back, we had an extra week of Shira. I guess my memory is Chazara. Well, that's right. We had Shira coming away. Right. He's right. We had Chazara week. So in the last couple of days, we're still in Shira. The last day is Shira and Yeshiva. What's today? Today is Hey Tamos? Today's Gimel Tamos? Gimel Tamos. So it's four full months. So we had a regular Shira sitting in Gluck, Shalom Kitikunam. And look what we accomplished. How many Shivas did we learn? We learned a good, in track. How many? 13 sugyas, memberships, whole mahalach, 13 sugyas of guys were learning the chavrusas and whatever shape or form they were able to, and shiurim and afternoon star and night star and barachim ashureichem Yisrael. You just brought home the lesson that you have to remember for life, that in a certain sense these 4 months, not that we hope that these 4 months should be indicative of what your life is going to look like, but the ability of being able to learn even without a formal bismanish, even without a formal shiur, even without a formal chavrusa. Be able to plug away and learn away in all situations in life. What you learned in the last 4 months in terms of adapting, people have to adapt, and these are difficult, and they were challenging, and they're still challenging at many, many different levels. The ability to adapt, to be able to be flexible, and to be able to find Torah, to be able to grasp and grab the Torah in any shape or form, whether to Zoom, to not to Zoom, to live, to not to live, to inside, to outside, to Yenim, Shvenim, Chavrusim, Tzedarim, Shir, whatever shape or form, so Torah is still with us. So whatever the future will be, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be there for us, the Torah will be for us, and just remember these words that So whether or not you could be with the Dalai Lama of your friend is another discussion. You could definitely be with the Dalai Lama of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Felicium Suffolk. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to social distance from Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can be as close to the Torah Kadosh as possible. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya to continue those Dalai Lamas, and we hope and pray that soon we'll be able to come back to the full-fledged learning mahalach again. And hopefully that will take us to Meher Yom HaMikdash. You know, the whole issue of everything, we have to move to the ultimate. Welcome Kim Mitzian to Sarah. So a lot of atzlach to everybody. And those who are going to continue to join us, Amirat Hashem, next week in the beginning of July's man. So be in touch with, I think we Zach, you're the unofficial coordinator for July. So Zach Rothenberg has taken on the unofficial coordinator for July's man. So we'll get you the Mamakomos and the timings and figure out some of the technical details of that as things progress. So be in touch. Okay, good. Wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Yeah, thank you.